This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning to you. Glad you're with us on New Beginnings this weekend. I'm Freddie Bell. And with me now is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He turns candidates into contenders through a company called Ripple Connects. And Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And I had neglected to say that if you'd like to reach out to Joe McKenzie, you can do too on what we finally call the POTS line, the plain old telephone system, P-O-T-S, at 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, I'm excited to talk about today's topic because I know that people are dealing, as we're navigating our way through the pandemic, and some people are deciding if they can take one vaccine or the other, and they're looking at the relative health. We've had a lot of issues with health in the last year or so. But I do know that even as all of this is unfolding, that we still have to be employed some kind of way. We still have to bring some income into our homes. And I'm wondering if you can talk about some steps to deal with stress in a new job search in the environment in which we find ourselves today.
Absolutely. I feel this is an important component to the, you know, an individual's overall health and wellness. Let's face it, being in a new job search, if you're without a job or leaving another job, more than likely it's not conducive to growth or where you want to be in your career. And job searches, there's a lot of things that are outside of our control that put us on a roller coaster of emotions. We don't know. We don't hold a lot of the cards. And so therefore, that job search of not knowing, job search of staying where we're at, of missing out on an opportunity, yeah, stress is real and stress is not healthy. And we want to bring forward at least some actionable steps this weekend to offset some of that stress.
And I want to say right at the outset that we're not health professionals, but we are professionals in our particular industries. But these are what we're going to share with you this weekend are some items that are common knowledge that you can employ without a whole lot of effort, but they do make a tremendous amount of difference. They can make a tremendous amount of difference if you decide to employ those. So one of the first, what would be the first thing that you would suggest to someone who thinks that they may be under a little stress or they're looking for a way to relieve that stress, Joe McKenzie?
I think first and foremost, be careful and be very focused on what you can control. Because there's going to be so much that's out of your control. And what's in your control could be how you network, how do you talk with your advocates, how do you get your LinkedIn profile ready, how do you get your technology up to speed with cameras, microphones, etc. Those are things that are under our control. In regards to the search, you know, having those conversations with your network, those are things that we can keep in our control, being ready to talk about our most significant accomplishments and how they relate to that next organization's practice, getting ready, asking good questions of the interviewers. Those are all within our control. And I think that is something to keep in mind. And that be just that taking those steps to do that does keep stress to some level, not as low as you want, but it's certainly feels like you're moving forward. Do you agree with that statement, Freddie?
I do. So when you focus on what you can control, what seems to cause stress is when you're trying to navigate to an area over which you have no control, whether or not the person is going maybe to hire you, or maybe whether or not the person will even talk with you about the new opportunity or whatever that case might be. What we can control is the information that we send to that individual. We can control how we comport ourselves and presenting our position of being that standout person. So, yes, I completely agree with that. And you also mentioned your bench of advocates, and that comes up quite a bit. But this is a time, I would imagine, when you're trying to control the stress, that your bench of advocates can really be a great resource for you.
Yes, they can. They can actually be one of the main drivers for offsetting some of that stress, because without them, a job search can be very lonely. So going it alone is not recommended. Keeping those advocates updated on where you're at may help diffuse some of that stress. You might be able to debrief some of the interviews or conversations. That's helpful when you, when you're able to express some of the issues or concerns or optimism for that job. An advocate, a true advocate that wants for good things to happen to you and are good listeners and champion you, will take away, you know, and bring you in the right mindset during a job search. And you certainly won't feel like you're going it alone.
Mm. That is really, really sage advice. Everybody, in case you just joined us, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, our co-host on New Beginnings. We're talking about steps to deal with stress in a new job search. One of the first strategies that Joe shared with us is focusing on what's in your control. We just talked about keeping your advocates updated on your job search as much as possible. Don't go it alone. What would be step number three from your perspective, Joe McKenzie, in keeping that stress under management?
Well, be willing to accept help from others. So if someone wanted to sit down with you or have a virtual call to practice an interview or talk about a new opportunity or refer you to a new resource, be willing to help, accept help from others. That will also help you to know that you're kind of building a team. And the people that are offering help, they do that because they want to help. And so when you feel like you have a part of a job search team and someone's bringing new information to the table that you may not have prior, that's invigorating, right? That helps someone. I didn't realize that industry was experiencing this or was looking for this. Just by the simple step of accepting help from others, you may have a more forward-thinking mindset because of just saying yes.
Wow. That's a big one, too, because, you know, when you get nuggets of information can certainly propel you. They're like fuel in the gas tank. When you
yes.
learn something that you don't know and that could be in alignment with what you're trying to accomplish, that's really sage advice. And so also you step number four, and I see it here, get outside and allow for creative downtime. Spring is here, and this is a time for venturing outside of our homes in which we've been cooped up for quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about this before. When you get outside and you make time for yourself, you take a walk or, you know, go visit someone and you're outside visiting, that creative downtime serves you well long term. You may feel like, well, I should be on a website looking for jobs, but that creative downtime allows you to kind of offset a lot of the stress that's building up. But that creativity, that creative downtime that creates that creative ideas may be going back to step three with a new nugget of information that can be actionable, that can be that fuel, Freddie, that energizes you and keeps you forward thinking. Often when we're just going and looking at a screen for hours on end, we're not at our best creatively. And so switching it up, getting outside, having a cup of coffee with someone, walking the dog, what have you, allows for the end result is you may have some new information that you want to incorporate in your job search, and therefore that forward mindset kicks in and hopefully offset some of that stress that may be building up.
Joe McKenzie with us this weekend. We're talking about steps to deal with stress in a new job search. And then your final point on strategies is one that we talk about often. I don't think we talk about it enough at New Beginnings, but it is about volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
How does
giving
that work?
Back to others is a great way to feel engaged with your community, paying it forward to someone else. I remember when I was in a job search about 10 years ago, I carved out volunteering at a nonprofit on West 7th Street in St. Paul. And Freddie, you know what? Tuesday mornings was the morning that I couldn't wait to arrive because I was in the community helping others, and that energized me, kicked into that forward mindset and just giving back. And I think volunteering helps, keep that stress down. Because you know you're helping others and you're surrounding yourself with positive, like-minded people. And that is why I highly recommend having a volunteer component to your job search.
That's really important. So you talked about focusing on what you can control, being in touch with your bench of advocates, accepting help from others, getting outside, physically getting outside, outdoors, and allowing for creative downtime and volunteering. Joe, if there was something that you would say, do this weekend in the 10 seconds we have left, what would that be?
Realize that job searches are stressful. Don't go it alone, and just stay forward thinking in regards to the people around you and the information that's around you, and that will help you and pay dividends in the long term for a job search.
I really see now why you turned candidates into contenders. Joe McKenzie of Ripple Connects, and this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't. $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis, wake up to your success.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology have proven conclusively that you get what you expect. If you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
This time of year, I enjoy watching birds hop around in the fresh grass looking for worms, seeds, and other delights. I get enthusiastic about that. That's our point of focus, enthusiasm. I get a sense of enthusiasm when I see squirrels bounce excitedly from tree to tree or seeing a young dog run across an open field. These shows of natural enthusiasm remind me of life's simple joys. Although I may have more concerns than a bird, a squirrel, or a young dog, I can still greet each day with enthusiasm and an eagerness to appreciate life in every way possible. You can do it too. If you begin your day with a thought of gratitude, you open the door to a life filled with good and enthusiasm. Look forward to what each day holds, knowing that your enthusiasm will only increase. With this thought in mind, you can be enthusiastic about what lies ahead for the day. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone. With me right now is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the state's COVID-19 Vaccine Response Team, Elizabeth Ebolt. And again, she serves as the Vaccine Outreach Director. Hello, good morning, and welcome back.
Hi, good morning, Freddie. It's great to be back.
Glad you're with us. And I was wondering, now that we see nearly half of those eligible for the vaccine to receive one form of it, either if it's the single shot or the two-dose shot, about half the state, if not more, has been vaccinated. Can you tell us more? Now, there are questions that we're hearing about what can we do? What can we not do? Do I need to wear a mask? Can I go out in public now for the first time in some cases? Can you give us, first of all, the things that we can do now that we've been vaccinated?
Sure. I can certainly speak to that, Freddie. I think we've all spent the last year hearing so much about what we can't do. And so this new guidance coming from the CDC really is a breath of fresh air and a source of hope for a lot of people who, you know, the last year have been taking part in this collective effort to stop the spread of this disease. So let's get to the things that we can do. When we talk about fully vaccinated people, we mean people for whom at least 2 weeks have passed since they received the second dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines or single dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccines. So what we're still understanding how the vaccines will affect the spread of this disease. So even if you've been fully vaccinated, I want to stress this, you should still keep taking precautions in public places like restaurants or gyms by wearing a mask, staying 6 feet apart, avoiding crowds and poorly ventilated areas, covering your coughs and sneezes, and washing your hands often. But if you've been fully vaccinated, again, here's what's changed for you. Here's what you can do. You can get together indoors with other fully vaccinated people without wearing a mask. You can get together indoors with unvaccinated healthy people from one other household. So for example, this would be like a grandparent traveling to visit their children and grandchildren who all live together in the same household. And you can do that without wearing a mask. But if you're visiting a household where there will be immunocompromised people there who are at increased risk of getting really sick if they catch the coronavirus, you should still wear a mask. For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, you know, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms. And lastly, if you work in a high density setting, like a meatpacking facility, for example, you don't need to quarantine after an exposure to the coronavirus. But again, testing is still recommended.
Everyone, we're talking with Elizabeth Ebel. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the state's COVID-19 Vaccine Response Team. What are people telling you? Are you getting stories that are somewhat unbelievable where maybe an hour or two after receiving the dosage, whether it's one or two, that people are telling you that they immediately feel better?
You know, I do think that some public health officials have been referring to the doses as a form of liquid gold. I think that when people go and get this vaccine, I mean, the weight of the last year is tangible. People have lost loved ones. People have lost neighbors. They have seen, you know, really the worst of times in their lives. So I do think that there is a sense of relief and a sense of hope that this vaccine gives people. And whether that is, you know, from the vaccine itself, as soon as it goes coursing through your body, or just a sense of, wow, I am part of the solution and I can see the other end of this. I mean, that's big, and it really means a lot to people.
Even with this great news about more and more people getting vaccinated because the supplies are coming into the state of Minnesota, there are still pockets of individuals, particularly people of color, there are BIPOC communities, who are still reticent to get this vaccine. What would you say to those individuals right now?
You're right, Freddie, and it's something that we have been keeping at the forefront throughout this entire process. We understand certainly all of the concerns and history and, yes, just sort of reticent thoughts that people might have to getting this vaccine. We have been partnering with community-based organizations throughout testing and into vaccine to make sure that we have the closest connection to community. We have people that are known and trusted within all the populations we work with, within our BIPOC, within our LGBTQ+, with persons with disabilities. We're working through the entities that they trust most to really, you know, provide as much comfort and as much safety around getting this vaccine for them, answering questions about what we know and also answering questions about what we don't quite know yet. And so I do think that transparency has been helpful in allowing people to come to a personal decision. Ultimately, getting this vaccine is a very personal decision for people. And we just want people to have all the information that they need to then make that decision for themselves.
How wise is it to wait for the herd immunity to take effect rather than taking the vaccine?
You know, we've heard a lot about herd immunity over the last year, whether used appropriately or not. I'll say that the good news is we're working through our vaccine phases much quicker than we anticipated. I mean, it's amazing to think that right now in March, we have reached nearly 80% of vaccination of our seniors in the state. That's amazing. I would never have thought that a year ago. I think what I would like to say to people is that if a vaccine is made available to you and you find it in your best health interest to get vaccinated, you take the vaccine. Every single vaccine that's administered is one step closer to us getting on the other side of this disease when it comes to our health and well-being, when it comes to our economy, when it gets to getting back to, you know, things that we feel comfortable and miss doing. So I would just continue encouraging people that if a vaccine is made available, you should take it.
How can you encourage us when people are taking the vaccines? We see the numbers, and even earlier in the week, we saw that there was at least one day where there were no deaths reported in the state of Minnesota. There's still the question, Elizabeth Ebo, about how long? How long do we have to go through this before we get back to a different state of normalcy?
I think for that, you know, it's top of mind for everyone. And, I want to have a magic wand and say, certainly we can all go back to normal. What I can say is that we don't want to move backwards at this point. We're making steady progress forward, but we know the things that will set us off course. That's if we get too loose with our interactions in public as we're still working through our vaccine allocation and distribution. It's if we're not taking the precautions to wear a mask and washing our hands and staying out of poorly ventilated areas and all of those things. So I think the more we remain, the more that we keep those top of mind, those activities that have before were so foreign, but now are sort of a second skin to all of us. As long as we keep those top of mind and keep moving forward with those, as we immunize more people, that will get us one step closer to, you know, that normal that so many of us are searching for.
All right. Great words. That's Elizabeth Ebolt. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the state's COVID-19 Vaccine Response Team. Can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Freddie. Take care.
The Minnesota COVID-19 Vaccine Connector is a tool that helps you find out when, where, and how to get your COVID-19 vaccine. Signing up for the Vaccine Connector is easy, safe, and secure. All Minnesotans should sign up regardless of whether they're currently eligible to get vaccinated. Go to mn.gov/vaccineconnector to sign up. If you can't sign up online, ask your family and friends to help or 833-431-2053. Translation is available by phone in all languages. This message from KMOJ and MDH.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities. Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
With us right now is Kitty Harris. She is a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center in Minneapolis. You can see them at 612-344-2221. I should say you should call them. And the address is 1015 4th Avenue North. She's talking to us about the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center and the vaccine rollout and some of the behind-the-scenes activity that is taking place.
Warn people, because the biggest thing is, yeah, we can have the vaccines available at the building, but if the residents don't trust it and are not coming down and or don't know how to fill out the paperwork accordingly, it could be a problem. And so we have to be very specific on what we ask for, because once you break that seal, you have to use it in a certain amount of time. So we're going to try to do our best with this community and see if we can get people to come out and get it done.
So as you're inoculating the entire family, have you been hearing from the families about what they think about the vaccine or whether or not they should take it? Or what have you been hearing on the street?
Not too many of, well, and so for at the center in our adult day program, every member that's there has taken it. At Feeney Manor, all of the residents have taken it, at and the staff at 350 Van White. It was open to residents that wanted it and staff. So it's more so about, for us on the campus, it's about if people want the vaccine, because we had extras and people, we didn't have enough people to give it because we just didn't have enough staff. Whereas at our other building, the staff got it, but the residents were like, no. So I think it really just depends on, you know, people's personal backgrounds and their history. Most people have been saying, yes, give me the vaccine though. So it'll be interesting to see when we start to get to our Northside building, particularly 1710 Plymouth and 618 and 315 Laurie, if those residents will accept the vaccine.
Wow. So you've been working with Cora McCorvey for quite some time, MPHA. What's your expectation? What do you think will happen?
I think that the vast majority of our senior buildings will take it, just because I think to them, they will feel that this represents them getting their next step towards freedom, because they have been severely isolated since March of last year. And so I think a lot of seniors have that expectation of, oh, I'm vaccinated, I can come outside. And so I think that with that in their head, they will take it. And then they're going to realize that the science is saying, even though you're still vaccinated, you still need to do this, this, and this, and then maybe. But I think that the vast majority of them will take it, even if it's just some people following the other people and don't want to be left out. I think they will take it.
So how did you communicate in your building? So how did you communicate that to the residents in Feeney and so forth, where you've got 100% participation? What was the messaging that really drove those numbers?
Well, in Feeney, because it's assisted living and memory care, you have to have the consent of the adult children or the power of attorney. So Feeney was a little bit more easy to manage. We only have 48 units there. It's round-the-clock care, and this was essential for them because, you know, they don't like it to be akin to a nursing home, but this is essentially a nursing home vibe. And so we had to have that understanding. With the adult day, the only way they could continue to come and operate through with the state of Minnesota was for them to be willing. And again, because it's such a close working relationship with the clients and the care providers, the families were able to sign off on it. So those two instances, family members had to sign off on their loved one receiving it. And so that's why we were able to get 100% participation for those.
That's pretty incredible. And then even so, your numbers of people getting ill or coming down with cases, testing positive, has been almost nothing.
Yeah, we haven't had any outbreaks now especially with Feeney Manor, like we literally, as soon as it was a thing, it was shut down immediately. Immediately, no family visits, nobody in or out, as much PPE as possible. And so we had no breakouts down at Feeney and or 350 Van White. And so for us, the biggest thing was, you know, these are people with Alzheimer's and dementia, so they're already having a different kind of decline. So the couple of deaths that we have had over the last couple of years were related to illnesses that they already had.
It really says a lot about MPHA, Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, when we've seen across the state when there are a lot of people who are dying or becoming ill in assisted or communal living arrangements?
It's definitely a lot of work, but you know, it's assuring to know that even with all of the cracks in the system, that you're still able to protect your people and make sure that they're good.
Well, Kitty, we can't thank you enough for being with us this weekend, talking about the vaccine rollout at the high rises at MPH and also the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. I'm Freddie Bell, and you're listening to New Beginnings, and we have a lot more to go. Stay with us as we're just getting started. If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, you know, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who says that life is short, but there's always enough time for courtesy. Courtesy is the gift of treating others with warmth and respect. It means affording dignity to people by being thoughtful, receptive, and gentle in our dealings with them. Courtesy helps us remember our manners, not necessarily in a customary formal sense, but in the way we regularly and sincerely express gratitude, considerately acknowledge feelings, and offer true friendliness. Courtesy enables successful interactions and negotiations, liberally laying a foundation for understanding and for harmony. Therefore, courtesy can be defined as a respectful act or expression of behavior marked by respect for others. Courtesy is also a showing of politeness in one's attitude and behavior toward others, or kindness and consideration expressed in a sophisticated and elegant way. Gary Chapman, an internationally respected marriage and family life expert, says that courtesy, which is the act of treating everyone as a personal friend, is rooted in the belief that everyone is worthy and valuable. Treating all people with polite speech and manners circulates caring compassion and stimulates positive and enriching feelings of appreciation and human connection, something that we don't have a lot of these days during this pandemic. Chapman urges us to remember that behind every face is a struggling human spirit. The struggle can be from physical pain, illness, difficult relationship situations, or financial stress. Most of the time, we will not be aware of the nature of the hidden struggle, but we may be sure that everyone with whom we interact on a given day will be dealing with some kind of struggle. Whether we are interacting with a stranger, a coworker, employee, manager, friend, or a family member, we are experiencing a little slice of life, even if only for a few moments. We may disagree with their opinions or dislike their actions. In these few moments, we have the choice of connecting through courtesy or withdrawing through rudeness and disdain. If we make a commitment to activate the powerful energy of compassion in our lives and make it a part of our legacy, we can develop the habit of treating all others with courtesy. Gary Chapman suggests a useful exercise to many of his clients during counseling sessions. He says, write the following five facts of human reality on an index card. Then think of someone who's hard for you to be courteous to, and say the sentences aloud with the person's name as the subject of each brief sentences. Here are those five statements. All people are valuable. Number two, all people have the potential to be a part of positive relationships. Number three, all people are struggling. Number four, all people need love. And number five, all people are enriched by courtesy. Afterwards, we could feel the softening, opening effect in our attitudes and feelings toward this person. Just being courteous to other people can make you feel good about yourself. Yes, opportunities to be courteous are always before our eyes. The opportunity to do right things or to help someone presents itself every moment. How we respond to this is up to us. If we respond appropriately, we affirm the truest feelings and highest values life can give. The phrases like please, thank you, I'm sorry, excuse me, you're welcome may all be short. However, they are extremely meaningful. It's a good idea to use them to show respect for others and for ourselves. Please, and thank you. Such small courtesies in today's fast-paced pandemic world are not only special, they are notable and the welcome exception. Just a thought, I'm Freddie Bell. If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
You can get together indoors with other fully vaccinated people, unvaccinated healthy people, without wearing a mask. This would be like a grandparent traveling to visit their children and grandchildren who all live together in the same household. But if you're visiting a household where there will be immunocompromised people there who are at increased risk of getting really sick if they catch the coronavirus, you should still wear a mask.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me right now is Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis. She's online at westmetrohypnosis.com and on the POTS line, 952-222-3975. Good morning, Kelly, and welcome back to New Beginnings.
It's always my pleasure to be here with you and your listeners, Freddie.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate the patience that you have with us. That's our word for today.
Yes, 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 absolutely, patience. So let's just, I welcome everybody into a breath, a collective breath. Think about that for a moment. Everybody listening, just collectively taking a moment to breathe together. And as you inhale and become aware of that breath, and as we exhale together, allowing the muscles of the body to let go of tension and tightness, to become soft and loose, at least for these few moments together. Knowing that you can pay attention to whatever it is that you need to pay attention to and still take in this time for yourself and have it be beneficial. And that is one of the great things about patience, that we can be patient in different areas of our lives and still continue on and do what is ours to do. And as we look out in the natural world, for it gives us so many great examples, this transitioning time between winter and spring requires us to be patient. We may want the warmer weather, the longer days of sunshine, the summer breezes, the green grass beneath our feet, and yet we cannot rush Mother Nature. We have to allow it to unfold in its own time. And so part of the process of being patient is to trust that everything we know to be true is coming. We can't force it. We can't rush it. We have to allow it to unfold in perfect time, in perfect place, and in perfect order. So as you think about your own ability to be patient, use this time for yourself to become aware of a deeper sense of patience. Begin to recall the times where patience has benefited you in your life in meaningful ways beyond just being able to stand in a grocery line or at the bank. We know that busyness of life can sometimes test our patience. But what about those bigger things in life where you brought patience to the game and it benefited you over a longer period of time, much as the same kind of patience we need to bring to the arrival of spring, of summer, and of green grass? Know that patience is within you now. Connect to it, breathe into it, and allow yourself to move through this day with a deeper sense of patience. And thank you for being here.
And thank you, Kelly. Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis, breathing into patience this week on New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
We all live our lives filled with distinctions of how we hold our identity separate or in distinction to others. But Dr. Katie reminds us, in truth, there is no difference among us. That is a powerful idea. From this higher perspective, distinctions or divisions offer no real difference in truth. In that perspective of the high watch. Well, I want to give you several different examples of being willing or not. Remember, you always have a choice. God has given you the choice to make. Well, here's one. A few years ago, a good friend in Unity, actually a Unity leader, told me in conversation, you know, the Daily Word, I just don't like how they write it anymore. I don't even like how they punctuate the sentences. It's just not the same. So I canceled my subscription. And I thought to myself, well, okay. But the style of Daily Word has, of course, evolved and changed over the many decades since it began in 1924. But if we're going to make an issue of exactly how it's worded, or I'm exaggerating, how the sentences are punctuated, and say, I won't participate in the Daily Word process because I don't like how it's written. Think about it. The whole purpose of the Daily Word was to bring people together in a collective thought, a word, and to be willing to hold that in a daily time of silence, reflection, meditation. And to say, I won't participate because I only liked how it was written in the 1940s, defeats the whole purpose, the whole intention of the Daily Word. Now, Silent Unity also provides us with the monthly prayer services that they write and make available worldwide. And we hold that prayer service here, not only in this service, but Monday through Thursday at 11 o'clock. And we do it exactly as Silent Unity has prepared it for us. And I and our Unity prayer chaplains that help with that service, they take the devotion seriously. And they don't say, well, you know, I don't like what Silent Unity put out this month. Or I don't like how they express that, so I'm not going to do it. No, there is a higher calling, a higher purpose. It's being willing to come together in an intention, even though the actual wording, and in jest, the punctuation, is not exactly how we would choose to do it. What is the higher purpose, the higher intention that we come together in, rather than the physical words? Here's another example, quite different. You may be aware of it, or you may not. It's relatively new. But our board of directors at Unity South have been looking at cost-cutting measures and also ways to increase our abundance, such as the Valentine baskets that have been so successful, but also look at where we can fine-tune our expenditures so that we can come into line with the income that we have been experiencing in 2020 and now into this year. So there is an intention to do good for the church overall by our board of directors' choices in certain cost-cutting measures. Now, is each decision exactly what I want and what every member of the board wants? No, we have different ideas about how things are done. But we're learning we can come together in that higher intention. I am willing to support these measures of our expenditures at Unity South. I can support that even though individual items may not be my personal choice. Do you hear me? We can work together for a higher purpose, even if the little details are not what each one of us would choose if we were in charge of the entire world. Another example of willingness. I was talking to my good friend Sandra Campbell at Unity Temple in Kansas City, and she actually asked for my help. She's always calling me her mentor, and I just laugh at that. I said, "You're my mentor. You're teaching me." And so we have a little discussion about who's teaching who, who's helping who. But Sandra developed at Unity Temple, and now many churches around the country have taken it up, a project called Courageous Conversations. She presented it here when she visited our church. And she said, it's an attempt through education for people to come together and look at the experiences of our society in terms of racism, in terms of divisions and distinctions that we're holding. And through the conversation, we open up our hearts and our minds. But Sandra said, I just heard from a Unity Center that has quite a large group in a certain part of our country. And they're being challenged by members within the group that are still expressing what seem to be racist ideas. Education alone will not do it. Sandra said she remembered an old expression that sort of speaks to this. A person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. People cannot be forced to change through a group discussion, through teamwork. They have to be willing to let go the distinctions that they've applied. Well, I learned from another case. This happened around the time of the events in Charlottesville. And I heard this individual lecture 2 years ago at the Chautauqua Institution in New York State.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.